This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStewart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I wish someone could identify with my aloneness, with my lostness, with my pain, with my hurts, with my scars. I wish somebody could just come alongside of me and be a faithful witness to what I'm dealing with. He is. He does understand. Like roaring lions attacking their prey. Hundreds of years before it would happen, here it is, prophetically given. They come at me with open mouths. My life is poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. Picture of hanging on the cross long before it was practiced. Crucifixion was not practiced at this time. In fact, in many cultures, it was considered to be too cruel. And the Romans would only do it to the worst of criminals. Like roaring lions attacking their prey, they come at me with open mouths. My life is poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust, left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. Listen, verse 17. I can count every bone in my body. That whip they use tore the flesh off the bones. The Holy Spirit is seeking to give us a picture of what was happening physically, which is a representation of what was happening spiritually. Because he who knew no sin became sin, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, he was tempted in like manner and suffered so he could help me. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They pierce my hands, my feet. I can count every bone in my body. My enemies stare at me and gloat. His enemies were not just in the natural. There were demons by the thousands that were standing there. And he could see every one of them. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my clothes among themselves, throw dice for my garments. O Lord, do not stay away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Rescue me from a violent death. Spare my precious life from these dogs. snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. Yes. Since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, we've looked at some of the suffering. Let's look at some of the temptation. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness where the devil tempted him for 40 days. We should say, that's a long time to be tempted without a break. He ate nothing all that time. He was very hungry, very hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say, people need more than bread for their life. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world. In a moment of time, the devil told him, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they're mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus replied, scriptures say, it is written, you must worship the Lord your God, serve him only. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point in the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he orders his angels to protect and jump you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God. And when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Then Jesus returned to Galilee. The way you and I are to return after every season of temptation. Full of Holy Spirit power. Let me tell you what throws the monkey wrench into the devil's plans against you. When you do not sin in word, thought, and deed, and instead you worship and you declare God's words and thoughts and deeds, then when the enemy finally has heard enough of the word and finally cannot stand it anymore, he flees until another opportunity, and you are strengthened and given power to go out and do miracles. I wonder if we have been submitting to the devil rather than submitting to God too often. There's a verse that talks about that, doesn't it? It says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So now, I'm sure it's several years ago, I was reading that one day, and I was meditating, and I was in prayer, and the Father started talking to me about that and said, why do we so many times resist God but submit to the devil? Why do we say, well, God, you know I'm only flesh. God, you know I'm just made of clay. God, you know that I'm weak. God, you know that, like David, you like David's sermon. In sin, my mother conceived me. So, you know, God, come on, give me a break, you know. And God says, I did. I sent my son for you. I've given you a break. I've given the whole planet a break. I've given you the code to break free. I've given you the answer to the bondage and the chains and the blindness and the hurts and the scuffs and the scars. I sent my son so he would suffer for you and be tempted for you so that you can get the help you need. I think I need counseling. You might. I think I need a psychiatrist. I think I need a psychologist. I think I need a prophet. I think I need a word from God. I'm giving you the word from God this morning. God so loved us that He gave His Son who suffered and died and was tempted so that we could be helped in our time of need. So I said, Father, why? Why would anyone resist the Holy Spirit and submit to God? And I thought that was a pretty good question for God. You ever had any good questions for God? Job did. He thought he was pretty smart until God spoke, and then he felt pretty dumb. So I thought that was a pretty good question to ask God. You know, why would anyone, instead of resisting the enemy and submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee. Why, God, why would anyone ever want to submit themselves therefore to Satan and resist the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God flees from them? Oh, it happened in the temple. They were resisting the Spirit of God. When Jesus came, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They were resisting God the Father. They were resisting God the Son. They were resisting the Holy Spirit. I said, God, why would anyone want to do that? And God said, why have you done that? Oh no, you didn't choose, you didn't say I'm resisting God. What you did was you just negotiated with Satan a little to give him some license. You opened the door a little bit. You gave a little address. You gave a little office. You gave a little incident. You gave an easily besetting sin some space in your life. You opened the door up. And when you open the door up to the enemy is always looking for an open door. And so if you open the door up a little bit to the enemy, then the Holy Spirit has to submit to your choice. Ouch. So when I read about the temptations, you know what I see in the temptations? I see that Jesus was tempted in word, thought, and deed. Well, think about it. He was tempted in word, thought, and deed. I believe he was. I believe the enemy said to him, now think how hungry you are. Now there's nothing that you can't do. You could easily turn these stones into bread. You can create food right here in the wilderness. How many times have you already fed God's people? You know how to do this. Are you forgetting that, you know, you rained the bread down on Israel for all those days? Come on, Jesus. You know how to do this. You just speak the word and it happens. Think about it. Well, Jesus, why don't you do something? Deeds. Why don't you do something? Jesus, why don't you go and jump off the pinnacle of the temple? Why don't you perform? Why don't you do a production? Why don't you present yourself in such a way that you will manipulate the thoughts of the people towards you? You really don't have to go to the cross and die. Just do something miraculous. That's not the only time Jesus would be before others that would say, do some miracle. Show us something. The king would say that. Show us something. Why don't you speak up? Why are you silent? A thief next to him on the cross will say, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you deliver us and yourself as well? Why don't you do something miraculous? The enemy is always desiring for us to sin in our deeds too. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The enemy could be attacking you this morning while we're looking into the Word of God, because your mind receives spiritual messages. The enemy attacks us in our mind, but he's not going to stop there. He wants us to speak his words. Speak to the stones. Speak to them. Jesus, go ahead. I'm suggesting that you speak to those stones. Speak to the stones. Satan wants us to speak his thoughts. When we do, words are powerful. We've surrendered to his authority in some measure. But he's not satisfied there. The third level is he wants us to bow down and worship. That's what he really wants. And if he can get us to bow down in worship, then he has access to take possession. We've been talking some about all the demonic activity and the plan of God to cast the devils out and to bring down the strongholds and set the people of God free. When we start to think the thoughts of the enemy, we start to speak the words of the enemy, we start to do the deeds of the enemy, we are getting close on a road to worshiping the enemy. Now, everyone hasn't sold their soul to the devil, but many have without ever signing in blood. We don't have to go to the story of Daniel Webster and the devil and the great argument for the soul of that one that sold his soul for a moment's pleasure. Hell will be filled with individuals who have sold their soul to the devil and become a worshiper of demons and devils without ever signing a contract. They did it by resisting the Holy Spirit first. Because no one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And if we resist the Holy Spirit long enough, the Holy Spirit will say, you can have what you want. Anyone still hear this? This is kind of intense, isn't it? I have to tell you, I've never preached this sermon before. I believe we need to have this sermon preached. I think it's important. So someone brought up the other night at Bible study, asked the question about Peter when, you know, that's over in Matthew. You're familiar with that, right? Matthew chapter 16. We'll go there. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, why do people say that the Son of Man... Who do the people say the Son of Man is? Who is he? Who is the Son of Man? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. This is Matthew 16. Did I say 17? I meant 16. I was looking at 17, but I meant 16. Matthew 16, verse 15. Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You know, that's the only thing that really matters this morning. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is he? And why would Jesus ask his disciples that? Because disciples need to be asked that. Because it's not just who I say he is. Who does my life say he is? Oh, back to word, thought, and deed. What do my other words say about who he is? What do my thoughts say about who he is? Now, when Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" they all followed him because they believed he was the Messiah. Every one of them followed him for that reason. And yet there is a danger, and the church is filled with people who say, "I believe in Jesus." The question is not whether you believe. The demons believe and tremble. The question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Right? It's not whether or not, "Who do you say that I am?" And then there's this test. Try the spirits. Test the spirit to see if they can make that statement that Jesus is God come in the flesh, manifest. And a demon cannot do that. Because the demon will only confess that they're followers of Satan. But we who are humans can say that. A human can say, "I believe Jesus is Christ, the Son of God," and yet refuse to follow him. Demons can't say that. It's a test. They can't do it. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, Elijah, others say Jeremiah, one of the other prophets. Question is, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, Son of God, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Isn't that cool? If Simon Peter, who had such a big mouth, it was hard for him to listen to anybody. The bigger our mouths, the harder it is to listen. Yes, Jonathan, listen up. But even Simon, the big mouth, God knew how to talk to him so he could hear what he was saying. And we look at that and go, "That's so awesome." And you can as well. God talks to us and we can hear what he's saying. Because the Father is revealing his truth to us. Even the Word says, not be concerned, you go before a judge, you're arrested, you're put into prison, you're before a king, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Don't be concerned about memorizing all of the Bible, because the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance, "Oh, I've never been able to remember so well." You don't need to. The Holy Spirit knows. "I just could never really memorize Scripture that well. I've always had a problem with reading. I've had a problem with retention." Hallelujah. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance the Word of God. "Peter, you didn't learn this from human beings. Now I say to you, you are Peter, upon this rock, this profession, I'll build my church. All the powers of hell will not conquer it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom." Oh, I saw a guy the other day, he had the biggest wad of keys. I said, "Man, you must be a key man." Picked him up and he rattled him and he held a big wad of keys like that. "Yeah, these are all the keys, you know." Wow. You know, you have the master key. Master. The the master key. I know what it is to have a master key. With the master key, you don't need a big wad of keys. You don't need to make a bunch of noise. You don't have to hang them on your belt and show it off. All you have to do is say, Father, wherever you, the Master, puts me, there is a master key to do your will and fulfill your will because you've given me the master key. Anyone getting anything this morning? I've given you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I wonder what I'm going to do when I get there. Well, you already have the keys to the kingdom. You already got them. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked. We must start locking more demons down and loosing more captives. We're not playing around. Told Cynthia, we're standing. God is a healer. David, God is a healer. John, God is a healer. Jody, God is a healer. Frida, God is a healer. Oh, I know I'm going to lay this body down, but don't ask me to creak and crawl around while I'm here. God's given me work to do. God's given you work to do. And I remember saying, Father, I don't know. The devil said, you're never going to be able to preach again. You're never going to be able to do anything that you've enjoyed your whole life again. The devil's a liar. I'm not only doing everything I understood then, but God has given me so much more I can do now than ever before in my whole life. I have no understanding of slowing down or sitting down or backing up because God has been getting me ready my whole life for right now. So why would I miss this opportunity to show up on planet Earth and be used by God? I've got the keys. I've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the keys. You have the Holy Spirit. Then he sternly warned them not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that he had to go to Jerusalem. He told them what would happen to him there. He would suffer at the hands of the leaders and the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Why? So he could identify with us.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. When you're trusting in His Word, hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for thee? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His Word. For everything, yes, everything is possible.
Troubles down, even your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make them whiter than snow. Like a tide, it